Hey everybody.
Hey everybody.
We're really excited to tell you about the last couple months, and we're thankful that you've come back to listen to us. Appreciate that, and I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, thanks so much. We're going to tell you a little bit about our school, our language school, and life in general here, our church, the holidays, and just things that have been encouraging us and discouraging us during this season.
Right. So our language school is amazing. It's super helpful to us.
Yeah.
It has really helped us feel a lot more comfortable in Japan.
Yeah.
Talking to people and just doing everyday life things in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Language school has made that 1,000 times easier.
Yeah.
So really thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're also thankful for the relationships we've been able to make at our language school too.
Yeah.
We love our senseis.
Mm-hmm.
They've been amazing.
Mm-hmm. And our classmates.
Yeah.
It's true, because when we first got to Japan, everything was stressful. Like going to the store was stressful. To send mail was stressful. So just having a place where we're in school every single day and we're being forced to speak Japanese, even when we're uncomfortable.
Having a consistent schedule is really nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. And really, now we go to the store. I was telling someone just the other day, it's nice to leave the grocery store and not feel your heart rate like way out of control.
I feel like you're going to pass
out.
Yeah,
I feel like... just from little interactions that it compound, or you're not understanding things that are happening around you.
Well, you know, when you get up to the cash register and the lady's asking you something, you don't know what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something really serious, you know, like, like, hey, your credit card doesn't work, or we're closed for tonight, or something like that, you know? Like, that's the kind of stuff that goes through my brain that makes me start to hyperventilate.
Well, especially at first. But then I feel like the longer we've been in school, the more we've just calmed down, and we're like, oh, wait, it's probably nothing serious. At the grocery store, even in America, there's only a few things people generally say to you at the cash register. It's the same globally.
Yeah, it's crazy how your brain is helpful when you can use it.
Right.
When you're not just panicking.
Yeah, context is so helpful. Even if we don't understand what people are saying, the context has been learning to read context better. And we love our school. We've had some awesome opportunities at our school to have cultural experiences. Like, we got to go and get dressed in kimonos, like traditional Japanese wear.
Yeah.
People still wear it if they're going to do something fancy, or if they're having like a wedding that's not Western.
Right.
They don't wear it all the time, but we see people almost every day in kimono. So
But we really enjoyed that. We got dressed up, some of our classmates, and we walked over to Nagoya Castle, which is a really interesting historical monument close to us in Nagoya, with some really pretty gardens, and we just walked around.
Mm. But we went to like an actual kimono shop, like where people, like professionals, put it on us.
Yeah.
That was a really cool experience.
Yeah.
They even like did my hair in the traditional way that women do their hair.
Yeah. That was fun.
It was really fun.
And they were asking us like how to say some things in English and stuff. So we got to be English senseis for 5 minutes.
No. Yeah. It was fun though. It was really fun. Good experience. Yeah, you know, I got to do ikebana, which is like traditional Japanese flower arrangement. That was really fun. It's super different from anything I'm used to, because you just get like 4 stems. And it's all about the balance of just these 4 stems, when I'm more used to having lots of flowers and making them all look beautiful as one.
Yeah, it's all about the angles. And
Here in Japan.
Mm, yeah.
Seriously. You said you got to get out your...
Get your protractor out. Your level.
But it's beautiful when it's done. It really draws your attention to like one flower.
Yeah.
Like the main flower, or, you know.
There's a lot of heart put into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also got to go to one of our sensei's jazz concerts. That was really that was a really cool experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun. We got to sit with these two Japanese guys, older guys, but incredibly nice.
Mm. They were super talkative.
Yeah. Shared their drinks with us.
Mm.
It was a really fun time.
Yeah.
Got to get to know them a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the jazz that was being sung, obviously, you know, jazz started in America. And so, so it's English.
Yeah.
So they're singing, yeah, English songs. And yeah, they're Japanese, and some of them don't really speak English, but they're singing in English. Yeah. So it was a really interesting, fun cultural experience. And yeah. even the guys who at the table were sitting at, the older men, they were like telling us what was happening as it was going and kind of translating for us, which we didn't expect. We expected to go and have no idea what was being said. This was a few months ago too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really nice.
Mm. We also, just a couple of days ago, we did calligraphy. Mm. That was a cool experience yeah. at our school.
Kanji and hiragana.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun, but we were terrible at it.
It's so hard though. Like I thought, okay, I can write hiragana and I can write some kanji. This shouldn't be too bad, but you get like a big paintbrush and you have to yeah. do all these strokes with this big yeah. paintbrush.
It's a little bit different than just doing your homework.
Right. Exactly.
It's artistic and we can make like maybe what would look like picture perfect characters, but in reality that's not really what calligraphy is going for.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah, if you have time you should look up Japanese like kanji calligraphy. It's really interesting. Yeah,
it's actually really cool that our sensei did a like kind of like a performance for us and he drew some super complicated kanji in like 2 seconds. And it was just like, it blew our minds, but right. I mean, it looked so good.
Yeah.
It was so impressive. It was.
But he's also like a kanji performer. Yeah. I mean, a calligraphy
professional.
He's a like professional calligraphy performer.
Yeah.
Which I don't quite understand what that is, but he also gave us like the history of kanji and showed us how kanji developed over the years. It was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So.
It was really fun. He was a super nice guy.
Yeah. Language overall, like, we see a lot of improvement. We've only been in school 3 months. So we see, yeah, we see improvement, but I think if we're being honest, it's a lot easier to focus on, like, all that we don't know and our failures in language. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Mm. Yeah, it just, it takes so much time.
To learn.
Yeah, so much time and so much practice, so much review.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all at a super fast pace too. It's like drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like when you're learning so much, especially like with grammar and vocab, like it gets kind of muddled in your head.
Yeah.
like I can feel hesitant to say anything. Even like the really really easy things, I can feel hesitant to try because I'm like, oh no. I know I could say it this way or this way too. What's the right way to say it? I don't know. But then it's like, just say something. Just say something.
Yeah, yeah.
People
As long as that makes it out of your mouth, you can.
Yeah, go from there.
You could figure out how to make it work. But it was funny too because we were talking about with some other people who are in language school how we've forgotten like, or it's been more difficult for us to speak English and to write English too. I find myself, when I need to be writing in English, writing little Japanese characters and then not even noticing it and having to go back and change it. Which is kind of scary, but also kind of encouraging because it means that it's actually in your brain.
Yeah, it's settling in. Even like my English word orders, like Japanese has like opposite word order of English most of the time. And so even my word orders, I'll like, before I send an email, I'm like, Matt, this sentence just isn't working. Like, what's wrong with it? Like, oh.
Oh, it's backwards.
Yeah, it's a little backwards. Yeah. So, yeah, just funny. We've never, like, seriously learned a second language before. We did Spanish in high school together.
Yeah.
Even though we weren't dating, we were in the same class. And you bet that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
A little bit of Latin as kids, but
yeah, so we're in the deep end for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are a lot of failures. We have a lot of failures in speaking or trying to say something and people don't understand us, and that can be disheartening. But also successes.
Yeah.
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 Like We've done a lot of things recently that we thought were going to be really hard. Like, oh no, we're going to run into a new situation where we're going to have to say something that we don't know the vocabulary for.
Yeah. I always like to, when we get in those situations, I always like to game plan beforehand and figure out what I'm going to say. Because it's helpful. Because they're probably going to use words that we haven't actually studied yet.
Mm-mm.
And so if I just kind of put it into a translator beforehand and just memorize the phrase.
Make sure.
It makes everything go a lot more smoothly, and it also helps me learn what to do in that situation next time and how to use those words.
Yeah, like for example, we had a rental car a few weeks ago, and it was the day we were going to return it, so we took it to get washed before taking it back. And I hadn't thought about it that morning. I think we were just busy. And so I hadn't thought a bit about it until we pull into the car wash. And I'm like, oh no, it just dawns on me. I'm like, we're going to have to talk to somebody. Like, I didn't even think about it. Because we know, like, different words for wash. But I didn't know if you use the same word for washing laundry or washing or, like, cleaning or as you do for a car. Because there are just different words. We just don't know enough yet to know if that's which one to use situationally.
And they also, in Japanese, there aren't many universal words. Like, they like to have specific words for a specific thing that you're doing in a specific circumstance, if that makes sense. And so it just creates a lot of variation.
At least from our perspective on what we've studied so far. That's what we've seen.
Yeah.
Even, like, counting. When you count, like, small round things have their own ending. So, like, instead of just counting everything, like, in English we say, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's like 1 small round thing, 2 small round things, 3 small round things.
Yeah.
Or like, and there's lots of different counters. You use a different counter for electronics and for,
Yeah.
So similar to, anyway, we got way off track. But anyway, we pull up to the car wash and I'm like, oh no, here we go again. Another situation that's awkward and we just kind of have to like Google Translate it or feel really dumb. And, but you know, we were pulling up and Matt was driving. So he rolls down the window and out of his mouth just comes like this beautiful, perfectly understandable Japanese. And sorry, I'm not trying to embarrass you.
No.
But the guy, when Matt finished like saying, you know, what we wanted to get done to the car, the guy was just like, "Hey, wakarimashita," and he like walks away, which means like, "Got it, I understand."
Yeah.
And I like, I just like looking at this man I'm married to with my jaw on the floor, and I'm like, how did he know how to say that? Because it's vocab we hadn't learned, so it really shocked me. I'm like, man, he's been studying. And
well, it wouldn't be that impressive to you if you knew how many times I rehearsed that phrase.
Well, I didn't know you did that. I didn't see you practicing it in the morning.
Yeah.
So it was really.
I'm glad he understood after that first phrase, because if he had said anything else after that, I'd have been done.
I was just so impressed. It's like, yeah, it was really sweet. And then there was no pressure on me. You just took care of it all. And I didn't even have to think about it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so. Anyway, that's just an example of something that's small, seemingly small, going to get a car wash. But it wasn't just a car wash place. It was also, like, they do gas, but they fill it up for you. So, like, you kind of have to tell them what you want.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, welcome to our life. That's
right. And then one of the other things that keeps happening is that when we get home and we get in the elevator, we struggle with pronouncing the floors right. So if someone else gets in the elevator and we ask them, what floor do you live on? Which we can do. And they understand. But if we say we're on this floor, the floor that we live on is 16, which is
a little hard to say.
It's hard to say. It kind of sounds similar to other numbers. And so we say it, and they just kind of
choose.
They don't always understand.
And we know, because they put in the wrong floor.
Yeah, because they put the wrong floor.
It's so sweet that they want to like put in our floor.
Yeah.
But now I've grown to really hate that situation, because it's something about our accents. Because our floor number, like the sixth part of it, starts with an R. But R's in Japan sound kind of like L's.
Yeah, they're more like L's.
Like, I remember when I was in Japan in high school, I had these two friends, and they were talking about some, like, famous guy whose name was Lion Gosling. Lion Gosling.
Lion.
Lion. And I'm like, who are they talking about? And then finally I'm like, Ryan Gosling. So anyway, that being said, I still have trouble with the R's, and you do too.
Like, yeah, it's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, if y'all can pray for us to be able to say our floor name, that would be great. Because that can be discouraging. Anyway.
And to just get to know the people around us too. We've really been wanting to do that and hoping that we get a chance to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we've met some of the people around us in our building. We also have a huge building. We see the same people in the elevator some days, depending on if we're going down at the same time. Yeah. That's been really nice.
There's a lot of really nice people who live around us. Nice Japanese people who we'd like to get to know, so...
It's funny because, you know, we'll be like, okay, we can do this. We're going to do this in Japanese. So we'll start talking in Japanese. And then we'll figure out that, like, this person actually studied in America. And then they'll, like, just switch to this perfect English. And every time it just makes my jaw drop. Like,
I know.
I don't expect it at all because there's not a lot of English in our lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's always funny. I just feel so relieved when that happens. At this stage of our language learning, at least.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's language. It's about where we're at. Lots of victories, lots of defeat.
And yeah. That's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
So we're just...
Just jogging.
Just, yep. Figuring it out as we go.
Yep.
And as we talked about in our newsletter, too, just joined a church called All Nations Fellowship, and we love it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our team goes there. Mm-hmm. There's tons of kids there.
I want to say almost half the church is kids.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, churches in Japan are smaller. I can't remember the total attendance of our church, but I do think it's about half kids, which is really exciting.
Yeah. It is really exciting. Gives us a lot of opportunity to care for kids and love for kids because that's our job here.
Yeah. So we're really excited about that. And our church is pretty international. There's, you know, Americans, Japanese people from across Asia.
Yeah. Right. Which is a big opportunity, and we're excited to get more involved with that. Right now we just kind of have minor roles, like Emma's doing music sometimes, and I run the soundboard sometimes, which is just pushing buttons and turning knobs.
Mm. We just started getting involved with that.
Yeah, so it's not much, but we're hoping that as we get better with language and language school becomes more easy, that we can take on more opportunities within our team and around us too. So hopefully we'll get to do that.
Mm. It's true. You forget how much language... effects. Like last Sunday I was in the kids ministry and all the kids spoke Japanese, and like two of them spoke English and Japanese, the one only spoke English. And it's just different than anything I've ever, you know, done before, because you don't just think about, like, you know, I wasn't the one teaching, it was somebody else, but she doesn't just think about, like, her, what she's going to share with them, with the little kids, or how she's going to do it. But now it's this whole language dynamic too. Yeah, it's tricky. And so I'm really, really thankful for the people around us who are walking us through the steps of thinking about sharing the gospel and loving on people when you have, you know, multiple languages in the mix.
Yeah. And the people are just being patient with us
while we
stumble through every conversation, and while we try to exemplify Christ with our speech, but very minimally. Can be easy to get frustrated with that sometimes, but...
Yeah, we want to be able to love people really well, but it's a really good reminder, and it's humbling, that it's not us. It's not us.
It's God who does the work.
It's God who does the work.
Yeah.
And we get the joy of being a part of it.
Yeah.
But He's going to do it, you know, with or without us, so...
Right.
It's a joy.
It's comforting and also exciting because we want to be a part of it.
Right, right. And it's also frustrating.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways. So our church had a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that we were used to having in our own church that happened there. A lot of things were different about it too.
Yeah.
But they did a candlelight service. And a lot of people who... weren't Christians were there. They were invited by some of our church members, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
especially because they got to participate in the candlelight service too,
and hear the gospel.
In the worship and hear the gospel
being presented. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a potluck, so everybody brought food. It's so funny, just the mix in a very international church of food. You know, you have like
all kinds of different stuff.
All kinds of stuff. You got like from soup to what are those called? Oh no, we've been gone too long. Casseroles.
Oh, casseroles.
Casseroles.
Oh, okay.
The ultimate potluck food.
True.
And but then there's like sushi and. Yeah, just quite the mix. Anyway, yeah, it was just sweet to have community to get to celebrate the birth of Jesus with. I'm really thankful for that.
And to hear someone who has been sharing the gospel for a long time in Japan preach about it and characterize it in a way that makes it understandable for Japanese people. It's really helpful.
Mm. And for us too. Yeah, yeah. It meets like everybody.
I thought he did a great job of trying to make it or showing that Christianity is not just for people who are from America.
Yeah.
Right? It's for everybody. It's for all people all around the world. In fact, Christianity didn't even come from America.
Right.
So I thought that was really genius and really well thought out because we've had lots of conversations with people where it just seems like they feel like Christianity is just not for them because it's not Japanese.
It's Western.
Yeah. Like, Japanese people don't have a way to get into Christianity because they're Japanese.
That's how many people we've interacted with.
Yeah.
Think of it.
Yeah. So that was great.
Yeah.
That was really helpful for us.
Yeah. It's helpful to hear the gospel being presented. And obviously it's the same gospel. But different things are highlighted in different cultures. And
yeah,
we're just learning so much.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that. Yeah. I'm thankful for the community of our church, definitely. Because I would say, especially Thanksgiving and Christmas, were the first time since we've been in Japan that we've missed our community in South Carolina pretty intensely. We've kind of just been sprinting up until... especially Christmas, like sprinting up until Christmas. And we didn't know we had a break from school, but we had a 2-week break the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's, which we're really thankful for.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It was really nice, but also gives you time to think. You know, we slowed down and hit the brakes for a little bit and like, well, we left a really, really sweet community, which we already knew.
Yeah, but it just kind of sunk in a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more.
When we had some more time to think.
Right.
And it's really a weird feeling, and it's not something that we've ever experienced before. I think it's just because it's different, because we've never really been in a place where we're not able to find a Christian community pretty close by, or not able to know that there are Christians around us. Because when we're in Japan, there aren't many Christians around us.
Right.
It's a reasonable assumption to assume that the person standing beside you on the subway is not a Christian.
Actually, that all the people in your subway car aren't Christians I mean, the country's less than 1% Christian.
Yeah.
So.
And so that can feel, I think, a little lonely.
Yeah.
And.
Right.
Also exciting.
Yeah, it's such.
Because
mixed
we know
feelings.
That God loves to do big things, and He loves to tackle things that people say are impossible. So it's exciting, but it's really different for us, and we're still getting used to it.
Yeah, it was like a new kind of grief, because I mean, we can find Christian community near us. We have Christian community near us. We even have Christians living in our building, but it's not popular here. You know, it's not a popular and people don't even know, like, we don't even have the same set of like culturally, like, America was built on, you know, biblical values.
Right.
But Japan has totally...
Japan was not.
It was not. So we have nothing culturally really in common.
But what's interesting, though, is to see how even though we don't have that common biblical cultural things, mm-hmm. in Japanese culture. There's still ways that we can look at Japanese people in the culture and see Christ and mm-hmm. see God and see some of his character coming out yeah. in people.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite things is just how polite they are and how caring they are for each other and how they really value everyone else very far above themselves.
As a culture.
Which can, it can go too far. And
yes.
And has.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, just the principle of it is really...
beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, Japan's so group oriented. You know, like, we do things for the good of the group. Make sure everyone's, you know, on board before we do things. And I think we need more of that in our churches in America and more of that in our families and more of it in our friendships. And so, yeah, it's really beautiful. It's just cool how, since we're all made in the image of God, we can't outrun that image.
Yeah.
No matter if we, you know, believe or don't believe in Jesus or if we don't actually know his name or not. His image, like, we are still image bearers.
It's written on our hearts.
It's written on our hearts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think one time we were felt really, really cared for here is over Thanksgiving. We had a Thanksgiving party at our house, and we invited the people at our school, but just thought maybe a handful of people would come. And we invited our senseis too, but we weren't sure if they would come.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're all really, really kind and friendly, but I just didn't know. And yeah. Like, five of our senseis ended up coming and a bunch of our classmates. And in our little apartment, we had full house.
Yeah. And it didn't seem that weird to us that that all our senseis came. But when we were talking to some of our team members afterward, they were like, yeah, that was really special that they came. And it was... because that's not
normal.
A normal thing to do in kind of like a work setting, I guess.
To cross that barrier from work to...
from personal life to work life. Or
vice versa.
The other way around, yeah.
Yeah. So that was really sweet.
Yeah, we could see God working through that.
And we learned like more about Japanese culture in that experience too, because like when each person came into our house, and not just the Japanese people and our teachers who came, but also... friends from other countries in Asia, they came in and like, I'm kidding you not, as people came in, our hands are just like getting full of gifts people brought. But it wasn't like gifts for dinner. Like, it wasn't food to go with dinner. It was like gifts, like wrapped.
Nice gifts.
Yeah. Really nice, like edible, but like really nice gifts.
Yeah.
And it just like, it blew my mind. I'm like, why are they handing me gifts?
Yeah.
You know, but I just...
it wasn't like it was for the...
for the meal.
Spread, you know, not for the meal. It was just for us, which was really sweet.
Yeah, we felt really cared for.
It was like a...
thanks for having us over.
Yeah, an extra mile more than just thank you. Yeah.
Just like they felt honored to get to come. And for most people, it was their first time celebrating Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And... so that was part of why they came, because they're like, what's an American like Thanksgiving celebration like?
Right.
Like, I don't know if what we do is necessarily, like, America's a big place. So I don't know if it's what everybody does, but it's what we, you know, we like to do. So
yeah, right.
It was really, really fun. And it just, like, having so many people from different backgrounds in our house was really sweet. Like, Matt and I were just sitting back, like, watching, because, like, toward the end of the night, some picked up the guitar and people were like singing songs in like Mandarin, some songs in
Vietnamese,
Japanese, and just getting to see this picture. And like, it's hard because you're seeing it and you're like, this is so beautiful. And then you're thinking like, this is beautiful because this is what the kingdom of God looks like. Like so many cultures and people, but then your heart's breaking at the same time because it's like, these people who are in our house don't know Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a weird...
yeah.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. It's really weird. So, praying for our classmates and our teachers. We've had a lot of opportunities. Like, opportunities we weren't really asking for. We've been asking God for opportunities, but, like, socially, just some weird interactions. People have just, like, asked us straight, why we're here, what we believe, like some that have been really unexpected, And
yeah, some people who wanted to get pretty deep with us.
Yeah, like,
which
was shocking to us.
I know.
That they just ask.
But it's just like God opened their hearts, mm-hmm. and we didn't, you know, we just
didn't do anything.
Yeah, we didn't.
We literally just live in.
Yeah.
But and who knows?
Who knows what came of it?
Yeah, you know? Who knows? Yeah. But it's just, we just feel really thankful that God is giving us opportunities to share about Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's true.
Cool to get to
see Him working.
Yeah, to see Him working, even though we don't understand it.
Hmm.
Yeah, so if you all could pray for just our relationships at school. We are in, yeah, I feel like we have a really sweet community there. So just how to foster it well. And be good students and learn Japanese.
Yeah. And so after Thanksgiving, we had our first Christmas in Japan.
Mm.
Was interesting.
Yeah, it was. We had a really full weekend the week before Christmas of Christmas parties. Yeah, like the one we told you about at our church, but there was also one that I got to attend for missionaries' daughters. Mm. And our teammate, Rachel, meets with these girls regularly, and I've been joining her recently, which has been a joy to get to do. But I got to go to that Christmas party and enjoy getting to know the girls better. So I'm thankful for that. And then we had the Christmas party for our youth group that weekend, too.
Yep.
You want to tell them a little bit about that?
Connect Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun. It's usually a pretty big outreach event, I think, for our team, and so it's really exciting to be there because mm-hmm. a lot of new people come,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of new people hear about the gospel, and they mm-hmm. get to play fun games.
Yeah,
like we had a game where you hold a piece of paper behind your back and you try and rip it into a certain shape. It creates a big mess, but it's really fun. And
they did skits and stuff too.
Yeah, and kids love it. Mm-hmm. But they have fun, they make friends with each other and learn about Jesus, and then
yeah, hopefully just leave feeling really loved. They decorated sugar cookies.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so
I was sick that night, so I didn't get to go, but
yeah. But I went and had a good time. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and then after that weekend, we didn't have anything during the week, and we decided to take off on a little trip.
Yeah. So we went to Hakuba, Japan, which is north of us, and there's a lot of snow there.
Mm.
A lot of snow.
A lot of snow.
More snow than I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
I mean, old South Carolina boy. It's not surprising, but right. I think for anywhere, it was a lot of snow.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a really nice trip, though. There's a guy who rents cars to like a lot of the missionaries, so we rented a car from him. He gives them really good deals, so we're thankful for that. Gave us a really, really good deal on a rental car. It was our first time really driving in Japan. Like, we had driven with Brooks, our team leader, one time just to kind of practice. But this trip, did you say it was like 4 hours away?
Yeah.
So it was good. It was good that it was longer. It gave us more time to practice driving.
Yeah.
So that was really, it was really nice to drive. But we haven't driven in 5 months.
Yeah. So I think we got a little bit better at driving.
Yeah,
I'm more confident, which is good.
Mm-hmm. And the trip was just, nice. A nice change of pace. It was nice to be, like, we live in the city with people all around us all the time. And so it was nice to feel more secluded for a little bit.
Yeah.
No.
A retreat.
Yeah. And we got to go skiing. It was really fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
But at the same time, like we said, Thanksgiving, Christmas, we're also a time of like really missing our community.
Yeah, I'm missing things that happen among our community and in Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Kind of just our norms.
Yeah. It was really different.
I think the holidays are just like, life is different here all the time for us, but the holidays are when I feel like the holidays are, it's much more noticeable that right. Your entire life is different. So you're not just grieving, like not doing what you normally do on Christmas, but it's a reminder of everything that's different in your life.
Yeah.
Which is a joy. Like, it's so, we're so thankful to be here.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of grief with it because we came from a place that we love and people that we love. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas here was different too, just because there's no Jesus in Christmas at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to find places. Mm-hmm. I mean, really only churches, from our experiences, the only place where Jesus is actually a part of Christmas, mm-hmm. or a part of the history of Christmas at all. It's mostly just a holiday where we celebrate it being winter and
shopping
and sometimes Santa Claus.
And people get KFC.
Yep.
There's KFC. History to that. You can look it up if you're interested.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing.
But actually, it's not. I don't think Christmas is a national holiday. Like, people still work on Christmas. Right. But New Year's.
It's not
Year's,
recognized.
Right. New Year's is like the big holiday in Japan. And that's where people, like, they, on New Year's, they go spend time with their family, and then they flock by the millions to shrines, and they, like, historically pay respect to the gods and pray for good fortune in the new year. But I know a lot of people we've talked to say, like, they just do it, like, out of tradition. They don't actually believe in, like, the spiritual side.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's more of, like, hoping that it might actually work, but knowing that it's probably not going to. Mm. Yeah.
But it's just traditional, and their family always goes, so they do.
Yeah, it's just something you do.
Yeah. So, that's sad for us when the Christmas season and life in general are, like, so full of hope for us. Like, we don't have to hope that when we go to this random shrine that maybe by some crazy...
Maybe
like,
our prayers will be heard.
Yeah, maybe they'll be heard. Maybe they'll be answered, but we're never really going to know. Like, we have this full assurance that when we talk to the Lord that He hears us, and that He not only hears us, but He cares about us, and He knows us so personally.
Yeah.
And that comes with so much hope, you know, of, like, we know where we're headed.
Mm.
Yeah. So, also just grieving that, too. Grieving that, like, that's our reality here.
Yeah.
But trying to look at it with, like, kingdom eyes of, like, God's at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's exciting to get to be a part. So, just pray with us that people would know Jesus and, share in
our
hope.
Joy.
Yeah, our joy. Yeah. The hope of Christ.
Yeah.
Hope of everlasting life.
Mm. Right.
One other thing that was actually a really big blessing over Christmas and over that season is that our churches, family, and friends in America really came alongside us in a super sweet way.
Yeah.
I know we mentioned, like, in our newsletter that we'd love to get people's Christmas cards, and we received so many Christmas cards. And, like, we have to tell you, like, getting Christmas cards in America is great, but getting them in Japan is really, really sweet.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Faces we know, names we recognize. Yeah.
And we know the effort that it takes to...
To mail internationally.
To mail it. Yeah.
And to write our address.
And just takes more effort. So we're really thankful for people doing that for us. That was a big encouragement to us.
Yeah, so thank you if you're listening and you did that. One of our supporting churches, too, just out of the blue, wanted to bless us and ended up, like, helping us get some books we had to leave behind in America mailed here, which was a huge blessing to us. And some of our other supporting churches have sent us, like, Christmas gifts. And I mean, we feel really, really loved. And we just want you to know that we're so thankful.
Came in at an awesome time, too.
Ugh, yeah, when we're feeling
great
all of that.
Holiday, you know. Mm. Yeah, it's just a big blessing.
Mm.
So, really grateful for that.
Yeah, I'm really thankful for that. And one song we've been listening to, we've been listening to it for a couple years now, but it's one of our favorite Christmas songs. Mm. And it's called "O Come All You Unfaithful." And just recently I stumbled across the story behind the song, and I thought it was really a beautiful story and a very relatable story. So I thought that we would read it for you real quick.
Yeah.
Hopefully to encourage you that even when we're unfaithful, we are invited to the mercy seat.
Yeah. Mm. Especially when we're unfaithful.
Yeah. Yeah. So here goes. Oh, this song was written by A lady, her name is Lisa Klo, I think that's how you say her name, and Bob Coughlin. So she originally wrote it, and then Bob Coughlin kind of refined it. But this is Lisa's story. She says, I was struggling. It had been a long year and a half. Finances were stressful. I miscarried twins. And on top of it, I was battling a deep relational bitterness. My church was having their annual service where they kick off the Christmas season with carols and special songs. And I, for once, was not singing. I told them that I wouldn't be able to sing, but what they didn't know is that I was too overcome with shame to stand on stage before my church. That Sunday morning, I stood at my seat as they began to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. And the first line of the song just clobbered me. It hit me like a giant wave of guilt. O Come All Ye Faithful, joyful and triumphant. I remember hearing those words and thinking, I have been so unfaithful. My joy has dwindled and I am a triumphant failure. And I didn't sing the rest of the service. I drove home with my mind still churning. Is that really who is invited to come to Jesus? The faithful, the joyful, the triumphant? If so, then I am hopeless. Thankfully, later that afternoon, the Holy Spirit reminded me of Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest found in his life, his death, and his resurrection, not my own. That evening, I had a strong conviction to write a song for myself and for the weary, the broken, and the ashamed. And so I just love that story. I definitely can relate to that feeling of being in church and singing a hymn and thinking, like, I don't match this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the things that I'm singing. And yeah. So I love this, new take on the traditional hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. I love just this different look at it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, gives you a different angle, I think, on Christmas, where it shows you all about how Christ's heart for sinners, and Christ is going to come again and claim his people, and it's going to be triumphant, and all his faithful people are going to love that moment. It's going to be awesome. But also, those people were unfaithful, and God chose them to be faithful.
He chose to be faithful to them.
Yeah. Chose to make them faithful.
Yeah. It's really beautiful. So if you have a minute, it's worth a listen. It's O Come All You Unfaithful by Sovereign Grace Music. I love the last verse. It says, so come though you have nothing. Come, he is the offering. Come, see what your God has done. And Christ was born for you. You weren't born for Christ. You know, he was born for you.
Yeah, it's very personal.
It's so personal. And I think we resonate deeply with this in this season of life, because we feel like we have little to nothing to offer here in this huge country, or many people around us who don't know the name of Jesus. We can't even really speak the language in a way that's understandable.
Yeah.
At this point. Like, how?
We don't have much to offer.
Right.
At all.
Right.
We're just kind of here.
We're just here. And Christ, though, he is the offering. Like, he has everything that it takes to accomplish his purposes. And we can come empty-handed. And sit at the foot of the cross, and rejoice in that kind of goodness, even when we're unfaithful.
So it's really encouraging.
So give it a listen if you have time.
So real quick before we wrap up, we want to tell you a little bit about what's going to happen with this podcast. We've got some different plans for it, and I think we want it to be on a more irregular basis, kind of a more random thing that we just post
when we're excited to tell you about something.
Hopefully that will keep it a little more interesting, and hopefully we can keep sharing that way.
Or if you have anything that you just want to hear about, let us know, because we'd love to talk about that. If you subscribe, then you'll get a notification when we release a new episode. But we also will, if you're on our newsletter, we'll let you know on there that we've released a podcast episode. If you're not on our newsletter, I think that the link to join our newsletter is in the bio.
Yeah.
For our podcast.
It'll be in the bio for everything except for YouTube Music.
Hmm.
So if you need that, you can find a way to sign up for our newsletter on the MTW website.
Mm-mm.
If you would like to do that.
Yeah, just search Mission to the World, Matt Nima Hegler, and there's a link to get in contact with us there. But I think you should be able to figure it out on the
right
podcast description.
Yeah, we'd love for you to be a part of that.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening and for caring about what God's doing in our lives, in the next generation, and here in Japan. We couldn't do this without all of you by our side, praying for us.
Yeah.
So,
thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.